Be uplifted, be inspired. This is Step Forward and Volunteer.
Welcome to the latest episode of the popular Step Forward and Volunteer podcast, brought to you by Lions Clubs British Isles. My name is Samantha Boffin, and I would like to thank you for tuning in. If you haven't listened before, our aim is simple. We want to celebrate the positive difference volunteering makes to communities across the British Isles and beyond. To do that, we'll be speaking to those who give up their time to help others, inspiring more people to step forward and volunteer. This month on the podcast, I'd like to welcome Mel Watson from Hornsey and District Lions. Mel joins us to talk about how the club have financially supported their primary schools by purchasing defibrillators and providing training for teachers on their use. We also feature Martin Gardner of Bungay Lions, who tells us about the organisation and planning of their annual 11th Classic Vehicle Rally and Country Fair, held in the grounds of Earsham Hall, a fun day out for all the family. But first, I have a favour to ask. We would like your help in getting the word out about Step Forward and Volunteer. Tell your family, tell your friends, and if you're a Lions member, why not let other members of your club know about the podcast and how easy it is to listen? All you need to do is either go on the website, www.lionsclubs.co, where you'll see a link to the podcast, or you can search for Step Forward and Volunteer on apps like Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. You can listen on demand or subscribe so that you never miss an episode. We publish a new programme on the second Wednesday of each month, and we are really keen to spread the positivity and get as many people listening as we can. We are all aware that defibrillators have the potential to save lives. In fact, according to the gov.uk website, accessing these devices within 3 to 5 minutes of a cardiac arrest increases the chances of survival by over 40%. So today we caught up with Mel Watson of Hornsey and District Lions Club. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Sam.
Hornsey and District Lions Club have donated 5 defibrillators to local primary schools within Hornsey. Can you tell us, Mel, how this defibrillator project has come about?
Yes, certainly. Well, in fact, it was the idea, and the prime mover was Jenny Eldred, who in fact is one of our members. It was actually a couple of years ago that a young teenager collapsed whilst playing football in the local area. He was fortunately saved. That sparked an idea in her thoughts. You know, defibrillators are a good thing, especially yes. Having grandchildren of her own. She came up, thought about it. And because of the various problems with COVID, etc., she wasn't able to move forward with the plan. And that's hence the reason we're only doing it within this last 6 months. So she came up with the idea of, I'll make some investigations and see if the local schools need them, if they would want them. So she approached the club first one. So she went ahead and she approached all the schools, and out of them, I think one already had one, and another one said that they didn't want one at that time. But certainly 5 of them thought it was an excellent idea. So we went ahead with that, and the club, fortunately, as I'll maybe explain later, the club, we are a wealthy club. We're fortunate in that respect. So one of our other members, John Briggs, he took it upon himself then to investigate to see where we could get the best deal. And we ended up getting a good deal. We paid just over £4,000 for all 5 defibrillators. Because, of course, there are different types of the smaller portable ones, not the large ones that you see on the walls outside public buildings, etc.
I've seen some of the pictures, actually, with the children holding them on your website, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that's fantastic for primary schools, because they're very flexible and they can, you know, kind of grab them quickly. That's amazing. So, Mel, as well as these 5 defibrillators that you've donated to the schools, have you ever done anything like that in the past?
Yes, again, we're fortunate. I don't know about other towns, but certainly we have a small volunteer force of what we refer to as first responders. And we gave them 2 defibrillators some time ago, and they found them to be very, very useful. We actually paid and had installed a full-size one at the village hall in a little village called Sigglestorm, which is just outside. And that, again, that was a couple of years ago.
So as a club, as a Lions club, do you have an ongoing relationship with your primary schools?
Certainly not only the primary school, the secondary school as well, but certainly in the case of the primary schools, we have, within the last couple of years, we bought them some the interactive whiteboards. I thought they were absolutely amazing things. I hadn't really realised just how much they cost, but certainly we bought a couple of those and went to see how they were there. We also, for a number of the schools in the area, an annual basis, we help finance their, they have weekend coach trips, sometimes a sort of 4 or 5 day camping thing. But again, we generally speaking, certainly put £1,000 or more towards the cost of their coach trip. And also, certainly in one of the case of the Hornsey Community Primary School, they wanted to have a garden, an activity garden, if you like, for the children to get involved with. And we help finance setting that up. Yeah.
I hear that you also do something special at Easter locally. Is that right?
Yes. With the primary school children, we get as many of the schools involved as we can and encourage them to do a painting with an Easter theme in conjunction with Tesco's, because they then allow us to display all of their paintings, which no doubt I'm sure delights the children and the parents in our local Tesco's. And in fact, we ask the manager of Tesco's to choose a winner, and they then give a nice large chocolate Easter egg to the winners. Yeah.
Gosh, what a brilliant initiative. How do you go about purchasing and installing them?
Well, again, as I say, the purchasing was all done through John Briggs, but then the actual defibrillators, they're kept in the school. And as I say, they are portable. So they need a charging point, but they don't need to be permanently fixed on the wall. They're there so they can be, at a moment's notice, taken anywhere around the school.
Yes, no, really important. And teachers had training in how to use them. So how did that work? Were all the teachers trained?
I think there's a selected few initially. One would like to think that, obviously, the more people that know how to use them, the better it will be.
Yes, absolutely. Do they need refresher training? Is that something you guys get involved with as well?
Not personally, no. But we do, here in Hornsey, we're lucky we do have a first aid centre, which is located on the Tesco's car park. They very kindly allow, it's a porter cabin, and the people that run that do first aid training, and 1 or 2 of our people have done the first aid training there, and I'm one of those that's gone and learned how to use the defibrillator and gone through the resuscitation course, etc. Hopefully, I'll never have to use it, but I'm now trained to do so.
Yeah, but that's amazing because, yes, it's all very well having the equipment, but if you don't know how to use it, it's a problem. So obviously you said there was quite a substantial cost involved in this. Mm-hmm. And so overall, did you have to raise all that money this year? And how did you raise that money, in fact?
Well, once again, I like to think that we're very fortunate that we have a Lions charity shop. I say fortunate because it raises a great deal of money and it is very, very well supported. But on the other side, it does, people don't perhaps realise that it involves a lot of staffing. We have a minimum of 8 people a day work in the shop, but it's open 6 days a week. We tend to have a lion on the till, and then we have at least 2 or 3 volunteer work in the sorting room. Because unlike some of the other charities, literally the stuff that arrives at our shop door, sometimes it's left at the shop door when we arrive in the morning, is just in bags and boxes. And until you open those bags and boxes, you have no idea what's going to greet you. And believe you me, it has some surprises over the years.
I bet.
But it means that we are very, very, very lucky that not only are we supported by donations, but by customers. And that's not just local people. It's Hornsey being a holiday town. We have, you know, lots of caravanners and that. And we've had people, I've seen people that arrived in their cars all the way from wherever, rather than take it to a local charity shop, they bring it to the Lions and all. I think that the main reason that probably that we're so well supported is they know that the majority of the money that we do raise is spent locally on various things, you know. But obviously, like all the other clubs, we make regular donations to Lions Club International Foundation.
Yes, no, I think the shops are amazing because there's nothing more that we love. That as a family, we always go to all the charity shops wherever we're on holiday. So you being a holiday destination must really pay dividends, actually. Yeah. And do you find that the income from the shop enables Hornsey Lions to support other projects in the community?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It is amazing.
Wow.
So, I mean, certainly to celebrate our 50th anniversary, which was just over 4 years ago, we had constructed and paid for a bandstand in the Memorial Gardens here in the town, something that they never had. So that's, you know, a permanent reminder. Again, we purchased and paid for fitted kitchens in the new town hall. And we also had some lighting. There's a small park which crosses between one main road across towards the seafront. And there was no lighting in there. And it was so, again, in this day and age, to walk through a dark path. So we financed having some street lighting put through there so people could walk through there feeling a lot safer.
That's incredible. Yeah. So you really keep your ear to the ground as to what needs to be done and you reach out to try and help.
What we tend to do, the examples I've just given, in fact, is something that we sort of self-generated, shall we say. But generally speaking, all of our other money goes as a result of financial requests. We have some proper documentation. Anyone can collect it from the shop, fill in, explain what they want the money for, what they have already perhaps already done to help raise the funds. And then we review these applications.
Well, that's such a clever idea, though, to use the shop as that kind of hub to collect all the ideas that you know, of how you can help the community.
It is a good place for us to advertise. We have a big, large board and a video screen in the shop showing what we've done. Various current photographs will be from the defibrillator photographs presentations. Yeah. And lets people know what we're doing. And the Lions magazine, we would put a little label on the front saying, basically, you know, if you're reading this and you think you might be interested, please contact.
Amazing. Oh, Mel, thank you so much for coming to talk to the Lion podcast. It's just an incredible life-saving project, but also all that you do as well, which is how you fund these incredible projects. So thank you so much.
Not at all. we have a good active membership and a good team of volunteers. They all do it with a smile.
I bet they do. I bet they do. And there's such a lovely community feel about that,
you know,
with the volunteers coming together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time now for a short break. We'll be back after this.
Never miss an episode of Step Forward and Volunteer. Listen via lionsclubs.co or subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts.
Today, we're talking to Michael Gardner from the Bungay Area Lions Club in Suffolk. Hello, Michael.
Hi there.
Bungay Lions are holding their annual Classic Vehicle Rally and Country Fair on Sunday, the 30th of April. Can you tell me about how the idea for the event came about and what makes it such a special event?
Yes, we are very pleased to be starting the event again because there had to be a lot of work done on the field where the event is held. So it's really great to be doing it again. And about 11 years ago, one of our Bungay Lions Club members had the idea. He had lots of contacts and everyone in the club was in agreement that we would actually do the event. What makes it special is thanks to the support of Rupert and Annabelle Dearham, who own the Ursham Hall where the event is, in a beautiful countryside setting. There are lots of different types of vehicles which are displayed in the grounds to give the whole family a great day out, with craft stalls, children's entertainment, and food and drink stalls. The event helps the club to raise money to support local good causes throughout the year.
Yeah, so it's really aimed at families, is it?
Yeah, it's a family day, yes.
So where exactly is Ursham Hall?
Ursham Hall is actually just into Norfolk, outside the town of Bungay, which is in Suffolk, and the car rally is signposted off the A143. And we already have booked in 430 vehicles coming from all over East Anglia and even further afield.
Wow, that's incredible. That's amazing. And is that the most you've ever had, or have you had that many in the past?
We have had, that's about the number, because we obviously do have a limit to what we can take because of the size of the field. But we have these 430, and I've already turning other vehicles away as of a week or 2 weeks ago, because we're already full up like 6 weeks before the event, which is brilliant. It's amazing, isn't it? People want to exhibit their vehicles.
Well, yes, it must be really exciting, actually. So what sort of vehicles come along to the event?
We have vehicles in five categories. We have cars, motorcycles, tractors, military vehicles, buses and lorries, and American vehicles as well. And it's free to enter. And forms are sent to those who have booked previously. We send them out via email, like booking forms for the previous year, for the following year, and we promote it online. Everyone is sent a vehicle sticker and details of where to go on arrival. Some car clubs, they like to attend it on block, as it were. So what they normally do is they meet up at a point somewhere a few miles away from Ersham Hall, and then they all arrive together, so they get parked together. So it makes a really nice sort of club event as well. There's only one type of vehicles we can't take, and that's some vehicles that are tracked vehicles, because obviously it would cut the field up. So the owners were not happy if we did that. But really good. We've got lots and lots of various cars coming and vehicles.
That must look incredible if they meet up beforehand and all drive down in a convoy. That must be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, some of the clubs maybe have 20 members that arrive at the same time. And we would have things like, say, a BMW club or a Porsche club, and they will arrive all their cars together. And obviously their cars are varying ages, because they're obviously not new cars. There are some brilliant examples of cars and vehicles.
What's the oldest car that you've got? Do you know how old the oldest one is?
I don't actually know the oldest for this year, but we quite regularly have cars that are approaching. Sometimes there could be at least a half a dozen cars or more that are approaching 100 years old.
Wow.
The average is probably around sort of 40s, 50s and 60s. So, you know, it's a brilliant event.
So you get these American cars, are they the big, the kind of, you know...
Chevrolets and all sorts of stuff, yeah. We've got probably about 30 American cars entered, but that's the limit we put on those, because they obviously take up a lot of space, those American cars, because their doors open and they need a lot of width. But yeah, some of them are spectacular.
For all of these things, there's lots of photo opportunities.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do people dress up in vintage gear?
Some of them do, yeah. Not generally, but there are some people that do, yeah. They like to get really in the swing of it.
So it sounds like a lot of planning. How does it all work?
There is a lot of planning. What happens is the club starts planning the event about 6 months even in advance, with different members taking on different responsibilities for certain areas. One person normally looks after the stallholder bookings. Another person arranges the children's entertainment, and I actually manage all the bookings for the cars and vehicles, and also any queries that come back, which there obviously are a few along the road, as you can imagine, as well as involving nearly all the members of our club in the run-up. Other local organisations, for example, Scouts and First Aiders and Lions members from other clubs do help us as well with car parking and things like that. So it's an event that involves lots of people, really.
Gosh, it must be vast, actually. Just parking, you're right, is an enormous thing. It must be in a huge area.
We have had sort of between 3,000 and 4,000 members of the public there on a good day.
Wow, gosh, and it's a lovely time of year as well, that sort of spring.
We obviously pray for good weather, and we obviously don't want rain, but, you know, fingers crossed.
What can you tell us about the country fair part of the event? So what does that feel like?
We have an average of between 20 and 25 craft stalls booked in at the moment. And then we obviously have about 10 catering stalls, and there's lots of things. We have a vegan stall. We have all sorts of different food stalls, some fish and chips and burgers and ice cream and stuff. We have a wide range of catering. We also have entertainment being put on for the day as well for children. We have a company that's called Little Jumpers. They do bouncy castles for us, which the children always love. We have somebody that hasn't been before. They're called Goo Awesome that are coming to us this year. They do magical shows for us and balloon modelling and that kind of thing as well all through the day. And we also, for the first time, have a local person is bringing alpacas along that children can obviously take for a walk. So that's going to be really popular, we think, because the alpacas are lovely.
They are. My children, when they were little, would have been all over this, would have definitely come. Alpacas are just gorgeous.
And they're so gentle, really, and the children love them, really. We haven't had those before, but we think that's really going to be a winner. And also, as well as the children's enzyme, we have some we have an entertainment stage where we've got one or two acts performing. We've got a signing choir which performs for us, which they come from Lowestoft, not too far away.
Do they sing and sign? Is that the idea?
Yes, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
We have had them before, and they're really always very, very popular. They're fantastic, really, and it's brilliant to watch them. They're really good. And also, we have a lady called Miss Kitty, and she sings lots of the older wartime songs and whichever, which goes in very well with the theme of vintage vehicles. So she comes along. So we've got those doing performances throughout the day. That's sort of on the main stage, as it were, so that works well.
Oh, Miss Kitty, so she presumably dresses up in wartime stuff, so
absolutely.
She's a vintage singer.
Yes, she does, yeah, and people love the old songs, especially when she does things like We'll Meet Again. It goes down really well.
Yeah, it sounds like an amazing event. I've heard that there is usually a surprise on the day, is that right?
Quite often, yes. I mean, last time we did the event, we had a group of red Ferraris that came along, and the visitors could look at them close up, talk to the owners, who are thrilled to obviously start up their engines. This is just the icing on the cake, as there are always many other interesting vehicles. And also people start to recall their childhoods, and it evokes another era almost, yeah. And we have also had old ambulances and the big trucks, and obviously they're popular with children. They love to get behind the wheel. So we always have what we call a special car sort of area, as it were, and it's for something. I mean, we may get sometimes like say a group of like some really nice Porsches or Ferraris or even Lamborghinis we've had before. So there's always some, it's always a nice sort of thing that goes on above the normal. So yeah, it's very, very, it's a good event.
Is that surprise, am I right? Is that surprise called George's Secret?
Yeah, George is one of our guys that does a lot of the organisation. And we obviously don't always know what's actually going to happen until we get sort of closer to the event.
Oh, that's fantastic. So if people want to come along, if they're listening to this and they'd like to get involved, is there anything that they need to know?
The event takes place on Sunday the 30th of April, and it goes from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. It costs £5 per adult and cash only, as our mobile signal is poor on the venue. And accompanied children under 16 years of age are free of charge. There is no charge for any vehicles that are booked in. General public parking is free as well, but we always appreciate donations on the day. We also welcome well-behaved dogs on leads at all times. And people also should head to our Facebook page on the website. Just search Bungie Lions via Facebook or Google. So obviously there's lots of information people can find out what's going on.
That's amazing.
We have got a card reader, which we're going to have in operation, but we obviously have got to see how it works. We're very good at keeping a very reasonable price, we think, at £5 for adult, because people can bring a family out for the day.
Which is absolutely brilliant, as you rightly say.
That's one of the reasons why we get lots of people there, because people know that it's a reasonable cost day out.
It sounds like you've got so much going on. It's just brilliant for families.
Yep, it is, yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming to talk to the Lion Podcast, all about the classic vehicle rally and country fair. And I hope you and all the Bungie Lions have a lot of fun.
Thank you, bye.
That is all we have time for on this month's podcast. Don't forget, you can also listen to past editions of the Step Forward and Volunteer podcast anytime via www.lionsclubs.co or on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts. Thanks once again to our special guests, Mel Watson and Michael Gardner. If you would like to find out more about Hornsey Lions Defibrillator Project, please visit www.hornseylions.co.uk. And for those of you wishing to go along to the Classic Vehicle Rally and Country Fair, take a look at Bungie Areas Lions Club on Facebook. And a big thank you to you, our listeners, as well. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Step Forward and Volunteer. If you want to get involved in local community volunteering, visit www.lionsclubs.co to learn more.